If you want to turn to Proverbs 31, we'll be there in a little bit. We looked at the first few verses of that with the men this morning. And then we're going to look at the rest of the chapter for this Mother's Day. And there is no way to properly honor mothers and motherhood other than with our lives being a thank you to them. That's the only way we can really truly honor motherhood. But today we're going to try to do that some in this service, as you already have done, and appreciate the spirit there also. But in Proverbs chapter 31, it's a tremendous passage of scripture. We won't read it right now. We're going to say a few things about this. Well, I've had a lot of women in my life. Now, I don't mean that in the wrong way. I should have phrased that a little differently. So I think I know a little bit about women. I had a mother, of course. 5 sisters. No brothers. A wife. 3 daughters. No sons. For 12 years, we worked at a company that had almost all women. When we first started there, the owner and I were the only men in the company. And after a while, there were a few other men. Only one of them could handle it. They all left but one. And so I was around women all the time. We had female dogs. When we had dogs, they were females. We finally got a male parakeet. And he died. That scared me. But for full disclosure, we did finally get a cat when our girls were still at home, but they were grown in college and so on. One of them was getting ready to go to college. We got this cat. And he was male, and he was too ornery to die, so he survived. But in all seriousness, God does know women because He created them. And He knows what He wants women to be, and Proverbs 31 shows a lot of that. It gives us a description and the character of a virtuous, godly woman. It isn't just for women to read and study. He gave it for all of us. And as all of the Word of God, it's from God Himself. A virtuous woman is a great blessing for all who are touched by her. Not just her children or her family, but close friends, associates, church, fellow church members. So husbands and children, as we think about this today, let's allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us today about the virtuous women that are in this auditorium. Now, I don't know you personally, but just by your selection of church tells us a lot. By your fellowship with one another. And I know maybe there's some visitors here, and it's the first time you've been here. I don't know, but we welcome you. I wouldn't know the visitors, but I don't even know all the members yet. So, but just think of what could happen if every home represented in this auditorium this morning would try to make as their goal to have as godly of a home as they could have. And I know many of you probably are working on that. But we're here to honor mothers in a way that glorifies God as well. You know, there's something about the name of Jesus, because we know who He is and what He is and what He did for us. And there's just nothing quite like that name. There's a little chorus that talks about there's something about that name. And I would suspect that motherhood is probably the second most endearing name in any language, right after Jesus. There's just something about mothers, and I mean that. A lady by the name of Catherine Harvisett said this to mothers: "You are exactly who your children need. No one can fill your shoes. No one can give what you have to offer. No one can love or know your child like you do. This is the privilege of being a mother. And it's so true. We know that God gave us the institution of marriage. And it's one of the most important institutions on earth. And along with the local church, marriage and the home is the instrument that God uses to carry out His will in this world. And we know government's involved in some of that in a different way, but the home and the church. And so I hope you know the marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And marriage, people, those of you who are married, marriage can be powerful. As we looked at the first few verses of Proverbs this morning with the men, I tried to challenge and point out what leaders of men and godly men can be and how they can influence and affect this world in which we live. And it's the same with the home. And I'm not really preaching on the home this morning. We'll get to the virtuous woman here in a little bit. But it's marriage can be so powerful. It can affect others. And when we realize that marriage, ladies and men, it's more than something just to fulfill our desires and our needs. When we come to that conclusion, God can use any marriage in a great way. Any marriage. I'll tell you, God has used my wife and I's marriage everywhere we have been. We realized after we had been in Bible college for a while, and we realized that God was using our marriage there. We went to Bible college after we were married, so we were already married and had a daughter. So there were other married couples there. And everywhere we've gone, God has used our marriage. Now, we've had challenges in our married life. We're not perfect. But here's something, a thought that God gave me, and I'm sure many of you can say, we're not perfect, but we are genuine in our imperfection. We put a lot of effort and time and thought into marriage. My wife especially has done so in so many ways. And people do know that we work together. So marriage is powerful. But I really think that there's not so much, well, maybe there is a lot of confusion too, but there's just a lack of understanding of what it takes to be used of God, not just in a marriage, but in our lives. And to be used of God, we need to be godly. And this is an amazing thought. If we're godly, if we're trying to be conformed to the image of Christ, God can use us like He used Christ. And that's not being irreverent or sacrilegious. That's what He wants. He calls us brethren. And He wants us to have that kind of effect. Ye are the light of the world, He said. We're the lights of the world. And yes, marriage is not going to be perfect. You ladies know that because there's a man in every one of you. It should be, anyway. In our days, different sometimes. But you know, unfortunately, we may as well acknowledge that many Christian marriages are unhappy. They're unfulfilling. And many are in trouble. But it doesn't have to be that way. And it's so true, and it affects, talk about marriage being powerful and how it affects others. There are single young people that fear marriage because of the examples that have been before them. And that's sad. They do. They fear marriage. I've wondered, and my wife has wondered, through the years, and especially in these last 10 years or so, why there are so many single Christian young people out there. Maybe you don't see it, and maybe you do right here, but in our circles that we're in and all the places we go, we see all kinds of single, good, seemingly godly young people that are single. And I have to wonder, is it because there's some confusion about marriage? Is it because some of those young people, or many of those young people, are serious? They want to be serious about marriage, but they fear it because of what they've seen. You know, it doesn't have to be that way. So I hope this morning, as we look into some of these things, that that'll be in your mind. But we're not going to really delve into that a lot, but we're going to do what we can to shine some light on a virtuous woman and be thankful for those ladies that God has given us. And I want to say this: when we read Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 here, ladies, you do not have to be involved in all these activities that this woman was involved in. It was in a different day, a different culture, to be a virtuous woman that pleases God. The main thought, the main challenge that I want to take away from with this today from Proverbs 31 is that you ladies would have the heart and the spirit of this ideal virtuous woman. And that men, that we would encourage that in our ladies, and we would allow that in our ladies, and we would appreciate that in the ladies that are in our lives, whether they're wives, mothers, or friends, or sisters in Christ. I hope you will embrace this proverb, ladies, in your heart. I hope you will embrace it. This is the model that God has given us. Now, men, we can hold ladies back if we're not careful. I'm going to tell you something that I've seen and I believe is true. We live in a man's world. Now, by that I mean, men kind of have, I don't know how to put it, we're kind of favored in many ways. I know some of that's because of the lost state of mankind. And it's not always so, but I have observed, you know, I don't know exactly how to put it, but ladies have to work harder, perform better to get the same recognition. I'm not talking about just the workplace and that, but I'm just talking about life. And it's not altogether a bad thing if our homes are right, because, you know, God placed male leadership in the home. And the Lord said God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of woman and home. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing, because that's the way God established it for many reasons. But men, one of the things that we have not done is take full advantage of all that a woman can be. All the influence that she can exert, all the wisdom that she has. Galatians chapter 3, and I think it's verse 28, tells us that we're equal in Christ in salvation and spiritually speaking. A woman can be just as spiritual as a man. Women can do almost anything that men can do. Maybe there's some difference in physical strength sometimes, but I've seen some women that I wouldn't smart off to. But seriously, this morning, we need to encourage our ladies. We don't need to be threatened. I'm not threatened by my wife. Now, I think I say that to her credit as much as anything, because she doesn't want to be a man, thank the Lord. She doesn't want the role of a man, thank the Lord. I don't feel threatened by her. except that she's a really good speaker, and that's why I'm a Baptist preacher, because Baptists don't let women preach. Because if they heard her speak and me speak, they'd always have her. So I don't feel threatened at all being a Baptist and with my wife's support. But men, it's amazing. It's amazing the insights that God gives women, because they're focused on some things we're not focused on. And even if they're work outside the home and they're busy otherwise, they have a huge capacity. We'll just let that work. And we'll see that in Proverbs here. Let's look at Proverbs 31. And I don't know how far we'll get into this, and we'll probably finish it up this evening, so I hope you'll come back and get the rest. But in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Just get the willingly working with her hands part. You don't have to go out and seek wool and flax like they did. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands, and planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. That's an idea of love and grace and devoted love. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Quite a description. I won't be able to cover all that, but I wanted you to hear it read. In verse number 30, I believe it is. Yes, it says, she's one that feareth the Lord, and she shall be praised. Now, lest there be someone here this morning, some lady, that has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, let me say this. It would be impossible for you to pursue the godly traits that are laid out here in Proverbs 31 without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you couldn't do good. Many mothers have sacrificed themselves, have done much good, and have helped their children. But you see, God has a different standard than we have. And to meet this standard, you need Jesus. And you need to come to Him and ask Him and tell Him you've been going one way and you want to go another way. You want to follow Him totally and completely. That's called repentance. That's receiving His Son as your Savior, the one who died on the cross and shed His blood and rose again. But that's where it begins. Well, let's think about the value of a virtuous woman. Look what it says in verse number 10. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now, that language is not comparing a virtuous woman to rubies. There's no comparison. Because a virtuous woman is far above rubies. He's just picking out something in precious jewels in that day that people might see as very precious and valuable. There's another place in Proverbs, and I can't remember where it was, Proverbs or Psalms, where that the only other place that I know of where rubies is and maybe in the book of Job, is compared to wisdom, or compared to something, it's wisdom. So ladies, a virtuous woman is compared to the same standard as wisdom. Think about that. And it tells us, I think, in verse 26, she opened her mouth with wisdom. So her value is far above rubies. Now, my. Listen, men, if you've got a good wife, you've got a good thing. And listen to what God says about her. Her value is far above rubies. It's amazing. We've got something here. Proverbs 18:22 says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The idea there is a good wife, he's found a good thing. And we ought to treasure and value her and desire that God would use her in the greatest ways that he can use her. Now, he's not just talking about a virtuous woman here. It's not just talking about purity, as important as that is. He's talking about strength, a moral strength, a strong constitution. Think of the ladies in the days of the development of the United States going west. Some of you folks from other countries may not know all that history, and sometimes I find folks from other countries know the U.S. history better than we do, but going out west, those ladies had to be of a strong constitution. And back in the days when we didn't have all the conveniences and electrical power and all that, they were of a strong constitution. And we still need it. It's not just ladies that need that, but men need that. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school, but her price is so far above rubies. And then we look at the trustworthiness and the loyalty of a virtuous woman. Look in verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That all the days of her life, I believe, means a once and for all commitment. Now, here's what I see here. It may not be appealing to some ladies sitting here. It may not seem fair. And it's not if it's not reciprocal, if the husband doesn't return the favor. It's not fair, but then this world is not fair. Christians are not looking for what's fair. Christians are looking for what's right. You see, and he sets forth a virtuous woman. And I believe he says here, his heart trusts in her, and he has no need to spoil. And she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, when we do the wedding vows, it's for richer or poorer, right? In sickness and in health. What's the other? I'm missing it. For better or for worse. That's the one I was looking for. For better or for worse. And sometimes it gets worse in a lot of ways. But I believe this means that she's committed regardless. Now, hopefully the husband recognizes that and that value, and they build together. But sometimes, ladies, it takes a man a long time to get it. Look, I'm 76 and I'm still trying to get some of it. Evidently, I haven't tried hard enough. That's an indictment on me. But I have found that women, godly women, when they commit themselves to something, they're tenacious about it. And it's all the days of their life. This is an amazing thing. But what God is saying here, ladies, if you'll commit yourself to your husband and do him good and not evil all the days of your life, If you can make his heart safely trust in you, and this no need of spoil means like he doesn't need to go somewhere else and get his needs met because they're met at home. And I'm not talking about just marriage. I'm talking about, you know, he says, I love my wife's cooking. I love this. I love that. He's happy to be home. He's happy to go home for whatever reason. And so hopefully that guy will dawn on him one day, hey, I've got something good here. And I want to treat her right. I want to treat her the way I should. I want to be her protector. I want to provide for her. And oh, there's so much we could go into there that we don't have time this morning. But the value of a virtuous woman, it's amazing. Now, ladies, here's the thing. Because of the way God has set it up, if you try to pursue it any other way, it's not going to work. And you say, well, what if I pursue it this way and it doesn't work? God will reward you in other ways. And one day when we meet our Lord, He's going to reward you as if your husband had responded properly. I promise you that. Here's the thing. When we reject God's way because we think it's not working, no other way works anyway. So you might as well try God's way, because that's going to work eventually. The trustworthy and loyalty of a virtuous woman is an amazing thing. And she is wise. I've alluded to that in verse 26 or verse 20. 26, yes. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. She builds her own household. Now, I'm not addressing this morning because I don't have the time about when we talk about keepers at home, and it's in Titus, and there's an allusion to it in 1 Timothy, but in Titus 2:3-5, that does not mean a woman can't do anything outside the home, can't work outside the home and all. I don't have time to get into all of that. But if you study this virtuous woman, she considered a field and bought it. She brought her merchandise from afar. She did all kinds of things that were to take her outside the home. And in that culture, she was a very industrious lady, a very busy lady, a very gifted lady. But one of the things we have to have from our wives and mothers is they have to put their touch on the domestic things of the home. Am I saying that every woman has to be the best cook on the block? No. Am I saying every woman has to be a seamstress? No. But did you know that in this Proverbs that God has committed a huge task to a lady? And that's to be a manager of the household. The same word that says when you talk about keepers at home, it means to guard the house. Now think about that. But see, you men, now this is where you come in and you have to let her do that. I'm amazed, and I'll have to clarify myself. I don't want to stir up trouble. But I'm amazed at how many times I run across a guy and he wants to pick out all the things in the house. Or he's got a huge preference about all the stuff in the house. Now, if they both like that and they agree together, that's fine. But, you know, I want to defer to my wife there. She is the manager of the whole household. She has to manage the children, and she has to manage so many things, and usually has to manage her husband. It's just a gift that God's given her, and if she unleashes that. Now, I know there are many factors involved, as some ladies grow up in situations where they're not taught or learned things, and so I'm not trying to make this, I'm not trying to do a stereotype here, okay? You understand? But you've got to get the heart of that. This keeper at home is a strong word. It's the same concept of Joseph when he was managing the household of Potiphar in the Old Testament. It was turned over to Joseph, and Potiphar didn't even know what went on in his house. He was managing it. That's the way it is with a lady in our Christian homes. You know, in many ways, we should just turn it over to them. Now, we should contribute. We should help. We should do what we can, and we should make her job easier than what it is oftentimes. But it's a tremendous responsibility that God has given ladies. And it has a great influence. Just remember the heart of it. I know there's going to be some different things in our society today, but don't be like the lady. I saw a quote one time that a lady made. She said, "The only thing domestic about me is I live in a house." Don't make it that way. Have that touch. Have that feel for the household. This lady is a diligent and efficient and hard worker. One of the things that happens in an affluent society is that things become easier for us. Work becomes easier. We have more conveniences. We have, but here's the problem with that. What do we do with the time that gains for us? See, back in this day, when this was written about the virtuous woman, it took them all day, every day, just to get everything done, neatly done. In the same way with the men, in many, many times, in many ways, and man had to earn his living by the sweat of his brow. So what do we do with our extra time? And I talked to the men about this morning. You know, if you pursue this, ladies, as I said to men, if you pursue godliness, that's all you're going to have time to do. Being a Christian is a full-time job. Being a virtuous woman is a full-time job. That doesn't mean you can't have times of recreation, relaxation, and so on, because we should have. But I'm just saying, we don't have time for all the junk that Satan has thrown out there today that we can waste our time on. And that we do waste our time on many times. Focus on this. There's a great reward, believe me. Someone said, the virtuous woman is of the highest importance. You can still build godly children, people, on a low income. But it is difficult, if not impossible, to build godly children without a mother being godly in the home. A godly woman who invests in her family benefits not only her husband and her children, but society as well. What a high calling. Praise God for His design. Someone said, when it comes to the future of our country, women are by far more important than men. Why? Because God gives them the primary charge and responsibility to foster and form the character of the next generation of and for a nation. Apart from their nurturing and embedding of character in their children, the bestowal of a godly model and heritage, there will be no tomorrow for any nation. We're seeing it. We're seeing it. This nation has missed nurturing godly homes. Folks, we're seeing the results. Someone said governments largely run on the character of men. But governments do not form the character of men. Women do. Now, I know good fathers have a part in that. But, beloved, if you think about it, it's just true. It's just true that the way God designed it, the way God made us, the way God created us, the gifts that He gave us, mothers have a huge influence. Mothers supported by their husbands and their children, can change a home, a church, a community, and a nation.